God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Well, today's sermon is the last one in the 2018-2019 religious year. Today's the last Sunday. Next Sunday, we begin Advent, hence the Advent calendar and all of that, which is the new year, 2019-2020. This Sunday is called the reign of Christ. And we'll talk about why that seems to be appropriate. But I think maybe one of the reasons it's appropriate is because it gives us sort of a reminder of what next week begins. Next week we begin thinking about Christ and incarnation and all of that. And we ended the year, this last year, with the fact that Christ is on the throne, reigning. Everything else I have to say has to do with Psalm 46. And I want to begin by first talking about hymnals. It's bringing back a memory I have. I worked at a church in Kentucky, and there was a man who was an appliance salesman who was a member of that church, and he had won an award. He'd gotten one of these electronic watches that, you know, beeped and buzzed and did all that kind of stuff. And this was in the early 80s, late 70s, really. And this particular Sunday, his phone went off. Beep, beep, beep. You know, it's doing that. And he's tone deaf and he can't hear it. And so by the time somebody got to his arm, which was his son who had set it to go off in the middle of worship, he's diving at his father's arm trying to get this thing shut up. And so whenever I have something that beeps, it reminds me of that. So years ago, when you went to church, you didn't sing off of a screen. You had a hymnal. And in that hymnal were all kinds of songs, the collection of songs that that particular church sang. And most of those hymn books had indexes in the back. And these indexes had three or four functions. One was to collect under a particular category all the songs that pertain to Christ, or all the songs that pertain to the Christian life and how to live it, all the songs that pertain to Christmas, and that sort of thing. So if you were planning a worship service around a particular theme, you could go to those indices and you could find that theme in those hymns. Some even went so far, I have one like this at home, that to group songs according to meter. Believe it or not, some songs have the same metrical pattern. Some of them may even use the same tune, and they just have different words in them. So all kinds of ways to think about that hymn or the hymns that you're looking for in the hymn book. Well, Psalm 46 is part of Israel's hymn book. And the ancient Jews used to sing from the Psalms. They didn't have a hymn book like you or I would have, but they had this. And no one really knows for sure why 46 was written. Some think that it might have been a song designed for when times were chaotic, when there was stress or something oppositional to their way of life. I thought that maybe a song like We Shall Overcome would be an appropriate hymn to illustrate what I'm talking about. Because when's that hymn pulled out? When is that song pulled out? It's when there's a protest over something that's going on in society or whatever it might be. Everybody knows that song. All you have to do is start singing We Shall Overcome and everybody knows it. We know the tune. We know the words. That's the power. We've talked about that before, about the power of music. Others think that Psalm 46 was a processional song. And it was sung when ancient Jews were processing into the temple for some religious holiday, something grander in nature. Martin Luther, who you've all heard of, was so moved by Psalm 46 that he wrote a song based on this hymn. And you all know it. A mighty fortress is our God. All based on this. Let me read you a few words. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. Our helper he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, Satan, doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. It's no one that has power like Satan on the earth. And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, Satan again, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. We already know what's going to happen to Satan. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, and through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. I'll say another word about this hymn later in the sermon, at the end of the sermon. That's a great hymn. I mean, if you know the hymn, if you know the music, you know how stirring it is whenever you sing it. In a conversation with a friend in Lubbock, we talked about prayer and about how prayer often turns into me and subjects that are important to me. So it could be, you know, to fix my car or to get me a better job or... And I'm not saying we should never pray about that, but I am saying that there's something about our world that makes us so me-centered that we don't give time for God in our prayers. I mentioned to him that I've been using the divine hours as a way of focusing my attention. There, the divine hours are all scripture. They're all focused on God. Here's a couple of examples. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. This is from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. Focuses my attention. Causes me to think about the God that I serve and worship. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, so it is now, and so it shall ever be, world without end. Again, focused on who God is. The morning of the second day that I was working on this sermon, I awoke to Capital Public Radio's coverage of the House Intelligence Committee's interview with Joseph McGuire, acting chief of the Department of National Intelligence, in regard to the whistleblower's complaint regarding the president's collusion with the Ukraine. It was a tense discussion, as I recall. And as I was working on the sermon, I got to thinking about, this was one of the things that I was reading at the time, A.A. Anderson's summary of Psalm 46. He says, the main theme of Psalm 46 is the reality of God's presence with His people. And I replayed McGuire's interview on National Public Radio, and I wondered how an awareness of God's presence among His people would have changed that conversation. And how would it change my conversations? How would it change the way I make plans? How would it change the way I think about myself? Knowing that God is present. Psalm is divided into three sections. The first section is that God is our refuge. When earthquakes come, when oceans roar, when winds blow, when you have climate change, God is present. In verses 4 through 7, he says that the city of God prevails even in the midst of chaos and war and all the stuff that goes on in our world. And I wrote in my notes, think about today's fraught times. I just get, sometimes just get apoplectic when I hear about what's going on. And this psalm reminds me that God's here. God's here in political chaos. The third section, verses 8 through 11, says that God snaps the bow and the spear and the instruments of war. That's what God's doing. How does it change things for you if chaos starts and ends with God in your mind? I'm talking about the dealing of it, not the creation of it. How does that make you think about the evening news? How does that make you think about what you see in the headlines? If you start with the fact that God is present, that God is with you, when things just seem out of control, how does that make you feel? Can't help but think about Dee and what she's going through right now. Doctors and uncertainty and not knowing what's going on. You know, how does God being present and God walking with her through all of that change things? Honestly, I don't think there's really any other good way of dealing with chaos in one's life than that understanding. I'd say that the human race, in particular the industrialized countries of the world, like the U.S., have spiritual ADD. There's a kind of restlessness about us. We want to accomplish, to find, to understand, to have. We pursue stuff, but we never quite reach it. And once we do reach it, if we ever do, we find out that it didn't do what it was promising to you. I remember I had some odd jobs and I made some money. And one day I was walking down the street with some, I can't remember who it was. But anyway, I stopped by the window of the Magnavox store and it had this, what looked to me like the stereo system to beat all stereo systems. And I had to have it. And so I went in and I plopped some money down and they put it on layaway. And I just every week or so would put a little bit of money toward that until I finally owned it. And I took it home and it had a flop down turntable and fold out speakers, and I had a stack of new records to play on this thing, and oh, it was so great. But you know what? It's at the bottom of a dump, a landfill now. And there was a time when the shine wore off of that stereo. And that's the truth of everything in this world. The psalmist ends 46 by saying, "Be still. Be still. Cut the ADD down, out. Just be still and know that I am God. Be still." God tells us, "I will be honored in every nation. I will be who I am. And I will be recognized by everybody the world over." I wrote two observations about chaos. One is, if I enter the chaos and embrace the chaos, if I say, "This is normal. This is what I want. This is how I feel control over my life," then I'm just going to be alone in the chaos. It's just going to be me and whatever that chaos is. On the other hand, if I patiently wait in the chaos, aware that this God that I worship is around me and with me and walking with me through that chaos, then guess what I find? I find God. Isn't it amazing? God in the chaos. Struck me this morning when I was working through this. That's where the Israelites always found God, was in the wilderness, in the place where they felt the most vulnerable, in the place where they felt out of control, in the place where things that were happening in the world around them were threatening and frightening, like Pharaoh, like not having enough to eat, and on and on. In the stillness of the chaos, we can pray, we can meditate, we can watch, we can seek calmly. But if I try to embrace the chaos, if I try to live in it without God, then I'm not going to find God there. He just ain't going to be there. I love verse 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Anderson says that this brings to mind the symbolic name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Yes. God with us. How appropriate. And really, how appropriate to end this Christian year, 1819, with that reflection that God is with us. Because next week, we begin talking about Advent and Christmas and what was one of the names of Jesus. Come on. You know what it is. You just said it. Emmanuel. God with us. Isaiah 7:14 and 8:10 is the first place we hear this. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we end one year thinking about this promise. We begin another year by thinking about the birth, the incarnation, and God taking up residence among us. I think Psalms 46 is a call to awareness. The God, this is what it says, the Lord of hosts is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And I love this part of the story. When Luther wrote his famous song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he wrote it from Wartburg Castle, where he was hiding. So there it is. Luther was inside that castle writing this hymn and being reminded of the fact that God was his fortress. God was the place where he could hide. What a visual on God's encompassing, wrapping his arms around us, power and protection. Let's pray. Dear Father, may we be like Luther and sing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. May we be ever conscious of the fact that you join us in the chaos of life. You provide us with all the wisdom and grace and other resources we need to negotiate the fraught times of our lives. When illness strikes, when we lose jobs, when political chaos strikes us with fear, we thank you for being our Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.